It's KBIA Thinking Out Loud and the Thinking Out Loud podcast. Kathleen Preble is with us. Dr. Preble is an assistant professor in the Department of Social Work as part of the College of Health Sciences. And Kathleen, welcome. It's good to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are working in a number of areas, but specifically in talking about survivors of human trafficking here in the state of Missouri, and kind of talk about what that research has shown you so far and where it is in the process.
Yeah, so in Missouri, we are in a unique spot in the United States in that we obviously are in the center, and that gives us a really nice bird's eye view in sort of a microcosm of the United States. So we have two large cities, St. Louis and Kansas City, and we represent a large rural space of the United States. So that allows us to see, if you could take the United States and kind of condense it down into a small area, that's Missouri.
Okay.
So it allows us to see what human trafficking might look like if it were to exist in a smaller area.
And what have you learned in doing the research, kind of, first of all, just sort of a basic overview of what we know and what we don't know about
Sure.
the subject?
Yeah. So in Missouri, and the last time we did our snapshot of what human trafficking looks like in the state of Missouri, we were able to find from reports of 117 first-line providers of human trafficking. So those people that work one-on-one with survivors of trafficking across the state of Missouri, they reported that there were 422 survivors of trafficking, both labor, sex only, and then those who had been exploited for both sex and labor in the prior 12 months. At the time that we were collecting those data, that was 2019. We're currently doing a five-year follow-up study right now. So if you are a provider of human trafficking and you have received that link that we've been sending out, please respond. So we're interested to see how those trends have changed over the last 5 years, particularly how COVID has impacted those trends. So out of those 422, over half, about 80%, were sex-only survivors of trafficking, and the rest were a mix of sex and labor trafficking.
And the demographics are different than people might think.
What many people have heard or learned about trafficking is that, you know, the average age for entry into trafficking is, you know, very, very young, and that's a myth that has since been debunked. Even the original researchers where that myth had come from would not stand by that. And so our reporting, our research has shown that the survivors in our study were between 15 and 26 years old. So, and also the survivors who had experienced sex trafficking were more likely to experience intimate partner violence-based sex trafficking. So if you know a lot about intimate partner violence or relationship-based violence, the age range that is the most at risk for intimate partner violence is between 18 and 26. So those people who are entering into mature relationships, yeah, and they're, you know, learning what that means, what a healthy relationship looks like, what consent looks like, what it doesn't look like, things like that. So that's where you can run into some problems.
What is, and I know that every story is going to be unique, but what are some of the things that kind of lead to people falling into this
the risk
danger
factors,
yeah,
for trafficking? Yeah. So where you see a lot of risk factors for other kinds of dangers, for relationship violence, for poverty, for, yeah, socioeconomic strata, things of that nature. So where you have breakdowns in community and social support networks, so where you have a lack of strong educational support networks, things that kids can really rely on to help them build those strong social and community ties, where you have those breakdowns, you'll have things that will fill in the gaps in not so great ways.
And we're talking here with Kathleen Preble. Dr. Preble is with the School of Social Work, College of Health Sciences here at MU. And I want to drill down on something you mentioned earlier, and that is about myths. There has always been misunderstanding about this, but there's been a lot of attention paid to this particular issue of particularly child sex trafficking, and some of it is based in research and fact, and some of it not so much.
Yeah. There's all kinds of factoids and myths out there about trafficking. Some of them are urban legend kind of level, and some of them not so much. And I want to make a point that some of these myths originated in research, and as we get better in understanding what trafficking is, and we gain better insights through research and data, we evolve in our knowledge about it, and we get increasingly better about what it is.
Isn't
right?
that true about all research?
Everything, right?
Yeah.
So exactly. So what was once fact, you know, becomes debunked, and so we need to do a better job of you know, that's what evidence-based practice is. You know, so we need to do a better job of just evolving in our learning and our knowledge. So. So that's how some of these myths originated, was that they were once fact and then they become debunked,
right.
But we're still leaning on them.
Talk a little bit more about who some of the victims are as far as race, native-born versus immigrant,
sure.
et cetera.
Yeah. So in the state of Missouri, what we found was that over half of the survivors of trafficking were white Caucasian, about 25% were Black African American, and then the rest were Hispanic, Asian, mixed race, so on and so forth. But when you start drilling down into what that actually means and looking at what, you know, comparing those races based on the population in Missouri, you realize that they were the survivors of color were disproportionately more impacted by trafficking than their white counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Black African American survivors of trafficking were disproportionately trafficked by over half their state demographic rate.
And how does that compare to, say, poverty or family situations or et cetera?
Yeah.
Or is there something else
sure.
to that?
Exactly. So we hear all the time that anybody can be a trafficking victim at any point. So it doesn't matter your socioeconomic status, so on and so forth. And while that's true, we do have people who come from, you know, very rich families and very poor families. Those survivors who come from, you know, more economically disadvantaged families are disproportionately more likely to become victimized.
Talk about what community members can do, what we can kind of keep an eye out for as
sure.
far as things that maybe set your spidey sense off a little bit that you might want to call and at least ask some questions.
Yeah. If you see something, say something. That goes true for anything, right? If you see something that seems abusive, smells abusive, get your sunny, say something about it. Report it to the police. Report it to the National Human Trafficking tip line. If it doesn't seem right to you, if something seems off, something seems exploitative to you, you don't quite understand what's going on, you don't have to have a rationale for it. You know, somebody's selling magazines, chocolate, whatever. It doesn't.
The worst possible thing that can happen with this is not you saying that looks a little bit odd and you calling and them telling you, no, everything's cool there.
Right.
It's not a problem. That's not the worst thing that could happen here.
Right. If you make a mistake and it turns out to be nothing, it's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
No big deal.
Okay.
The worst thing that can happen is that your spidey senses go off and you do nothing.
Okay. Kathleen Preble with us. She is, again, an assistant professor with the School of Social Work at the College of Health Sciences. And their website is at healthsciences.missouri.edu. And there's a lot of research coming through there and a lot of interesting things
yes.
that you can read about. A lot of the work you have done, people can kind of find out more through the website.
Absolutely,
there.
Yes.
All right. Uh-huh. And Dr. Preble, thank you very much for your time. It's been
thank
a pleasure to talk
so
to
much.
You.
Thank you so much.